Holy Spirit, we do ask that you would shine a light and illuminate Jesus for us, that we might see him and see him aright. We pray that you would use your word, that you would use your body to do this. And as you do, we will give you thanks and praise. And so we pray this morning, as we remember and celebrate Jesus, your baptism, we pray, come Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Well, welcome to Sunday. This marks the third week of 2026. Let me ask you, how is the 2026 calendar year going so far? You don't have to answer that. I'll just ask it. Did you take part in the strange cultural tradition where on December 31 you got dolled up? You ate, drank, and were merry. You put on a silly adorned cardboard hat, blew into some squawking cardboard horn, watched the ball lower in a different state. Yes, because it lowers, it doesn't actually drop. And then you kissed somebody. Then you told yourself that you needed to make better life decisions. This begins the moment after you kiss someone who is also wearing, or rather making, a squawking noise through a cardboard horn, wearing a Dollar General cardboard hat. We definitely need to make better life decisions. But perhaps you woke up on January 1 and made a firm decision to do something or not do something with greater effort and resolve than ever before. This is called a resolution. Let me get discouraging and real. Professor of psychiatry Richard Friedman wrote an article in The Atlantic this year entitled, quote, "Just Break Your New Year's Resolution Now." The article begins thusly, quote, "Along with champagne and fireworks, nothing is more quintessential to New Year's than abandoning one's best efforts at self-improvement. Surveys have found that fewer than 10% of Americans who make resolutions stick to them for a year. By the end of February 2024, according to a survey conducted by the Harris Poll, about half of respondents who set resolutions had already given up on them." He writes, "I'm impressed they lasted that long. My latest resolution was to stop wasting time scrolling. And minutes later, I was online researching what people typically do to spend less time online." I appreciate his honesty. He goes on, "Clearly, the way Americans have been approaching this whole resolution business, that is, tackling our challenges head on, simply doesn't work. If you want 2026 to be different, you have to try something new and bold. So let me offer a counterintuitive piece of advice. To make your New Year's promise stick this year, consider breaking it before you even get started." Close quote. Okay, Dr. Friedman, thanks for the pep talk. For us here at Church of the Good Shepherd, and not just us, but those who follow the church calendar, as we've already mentioned, today marks the first Sunday of the Epiphany. Epiphany will last until Ash Wednesday, which is February 18th this year, and marks the beginning of Lent. Epiphany is from a Greek verb meaning, and Nicola already talked about this with the kids, to reveal. It also means to cause to appear, to bring to light, or to shine. An epiphany refers to a sudden insight or a revelation, a kind of aha moment where we, quote, see the light. The church uses another word, which is theophany, a visible manifestation of God. And this will be the focus of our gospel readings for a total of 6 Sundays. Specifically, Jesus being manifested as the Son of God. Let me hopefully create for us some contrast. The Christian calendar is calling us to inhabit time and a story that is larger than the self-improvement project or a focus on self-actualization. Larger than the quest to find a sense of perfect balance in an imbalanced world, or total harmony in a world of dissonance. Considering this different calendar or timekeeping, how do we approach this whole resolution business? You might be pro-resolution or anti-resolution, or somewhere betwixt. How might we set a pace and have a proper perspective? I'll say it differently. The calendar issues a call different from the hustle and grind to be more, do more, be better, do better, or to pick up the pace, as it were. It is a call, and it calls us into a total reordering of our lives as a movement of love and grace. Weekly, this happens through story, scripture, symbol, sacrament, color, image, song, and gesture, within the contours of what hopefully is a caring community. Yes, the calendar is something we take hold of, but if we simply show up, it can take hold of us. It can mold us, not through increasing effort, but through humble, open receptivity. The calendar itself has what we could call gospel shape or form to it. And what is this gospel shape or message, you might ask? Let me remind us, you didn't invent it, you can't do it. No measure of resolve or resolution will make your life work in all the ways that you want it to. If Dr. Friedman is correct, you'll probably stall out before you even get going. And here particularly is where our egos get accosted. I've said it, I think, recently, that one of our worst fears is true. You're not enough. Someone else did it for you. Someone else is pure in the ways that you can't be. Someone else comes through where you fall short. Someone else loves in the ways that you don't, and has sacrificed in ways that you probably never will. This person offers you their life if you can believe it, and if you can receive it. Let me add, daily. This person remakes us and fills us where we are lacking. He makes us adequate or sufficient. This is 2 Corinthians 3:6. His name is Jesus. Our response is to receive the gift that is given. The gospel shape that the calendar takes is, I propose to you, one of grace, where we are offered and given opportunity, yes, to participate in a life of grace, that which we cannot earn, that which we cannot attain. It invites movement in keeping with the rhythms of grace. And the words of the late Rich Mullins may ring more and more true for us. I did not make it. No, it is making me. It is the very words of God and not the invention of any man. Can this calendar year be about receiving more than doing? One of rest instead of more resolutions. One of grace more than grind. And one of gratitude because God's good gifts given, those gifts given to us. As, yes, we go on assessing our priorities, our energies, and our limits. Today in this season of Epiphany, what are we invited to receive and celebrate today? Today on the church calendar, I've already said it, is the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our gospel reading is in Matthew chapter 3. And let's look at our text briefly. Our reading begins in verse 13, and again, you can turn there if you would like, or you're free to just listen. We might approach our gospel reading, if you're listening as Deacon Josh was reading it, with some confusion. Jesus, we know, we believe, I think, that he's sinless. And baptism is a purification rite. So you might ask, why would Jesus go out to be baptized? John voices this confusion to Jesus. Hey, wait a minute. I'm the one that needs baptizing by you. And John tries to stop or prevent Jesus. John tells him that he is doing it wrong. Jesus, you have it backwards. I think even on this point, it might be helpful to pause. Do you have this kind of relationship with Jesus? Where you are honest enough or brazen enough to tell Jesus you think he has it wrong? That he's got things backwards? But then, do we have the receptivity and the humility to take his kind correction? I don't understand a lot of things, but at the end of the day, can I say, not my will, but yours be done? Jesus doesn't give John a crystal clear reason. He responds to John how? Leave it like this for now, or for the time being. This is verse 15. Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. What does Jesus mean by righteousness or fulfill all righteousness? New Testament scholar Craig Blumberg puts it like this. To fulfill all righteousness means to complete everything that forms part of a relationship of obedience to God. Righteousness here is being obedient to God, seeking to follow God, and doing God's will in all things. Jesus will show covenant faithfulness in all things. This is a primary expression of love. What do you mean? Well, Jesus says in John 14:5, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus leads the way in obedience and in love. And yes, we are to follow. You are blessed, Jesus will say at his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness. The next chapter in Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33, he says, seek first. Well, this is a priority. Seek what? The kingdom and his righteousness. Jesus here is fulfilling righteousness. Jesus offers us his righteousness. Righteousness, again, is something we receive. Paul says in Philippians 3:9, not having a righteousness of my own, the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. Or Romans 3:21 and 22. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested. It's the same root word here as epiphany. Through faith in Jesus Christ for all believers. We need to receive this righteousness, and you might ask why. Who does Jesus stand among as he goes into the water to be baptized? Those who need purification. Those who know they need because they've fallen under conviction from John's preaching that they need forgiveness, that they need to repent. In a word, they realize that they're sinners. Jesus comes and is baptized as their and our representative who identifies with his people. Jesus comes to fully share our humanity, our condition, sharing not sin, but human weakness. And he is the one that bridges the gap between the human and the divine. One of the messages of Jesus' baptism is he stands with you. He stands with us in our condition. This is his entire life, during his entire ministry. At the beginning, here at his baptism, and at his crucifixion, he is among or between sinners. I say it some weeks after we confess and are assured of pardon. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, 1 Timothy 1:15, that Jesus came into the world to do what? Save sinners. So he is with us too. He is among us sinners. Are you calling me a sinner? Yes. If you weren't, if we weren't sinners, I would imagine we wouldn't need to make any resolutions. And even in our resolutions to do better, be better, etc., do we bend toward the sin of self-sufficiency? Most of the time, our resolutions are based solely on our efforts and our willpower, not out of a place where we rely on Jesus to will and do according to his good purposes. Again, Jesus, you're doing it wrong. I'll take it from here. The message today is the Epiphany season. In this Epiphany season is, in many ways, the same as the Christmas season. God is with us. He is among us, not to the exclusion, but in the midst of our sin and our brokenness. 1 Corinthians 5:21 says, he became sin for us. The economy of Jesus is back to the first point. Confess that you can't do it. Confess your sin. Give it to Jesus. And allow him to give you his righteousness. Why receive righteousness? Back to Paul. Because we don't have a righteousness that is our own. In verse 16, we don't get the details of Jesus' baptism, but it says when Jesus had been baptized, the heavens are open, the Spirit like as a dove, and the NRSV says, alighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, who I am well pleased. What's going on here, you might ask? Jesus' baptism is his commissioning. There are two Old Testament connections regarding what is going on here. Number one, God stamps Jesus as his suffering servant. Who will do what? We read about it this morning. Who will bring justice? Isaiah 42:1, here's my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Secondly, we hear echoes of the royal messianic psalm, Psalm 2, verse 7. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. At his baptism, Jesus is publicly proclaimed as God's royal son, the king, and he's anointed. In the Apocrypha, not considered to be scripture by Anglicans, but profitable for our learning, in the book The Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, 1 and 2 reads thusly, love righteousness, you rulers of the earth. Think of the Lord in goodness and seek him with sincerity of heart, because he is found by those who do not put him to the test, and manifest to those who do not distrust him. We see here it was the duty for the king to fulfill all righteousness. And receiving the Spirit is key to gaining wisdom, which is used then to perform and the performance of one's royal duties. Darlene Hyatt writes, quote, in order to be seen as a righteous king, Jesus submits to the rite of purification, is publicly anointed by God for the office, then is publicly proclaimed to be God's royal son, close quote. The epiphany of Jesus' baptism is the same as the epiphany that Deacon Josh mentioned last week in Matthew 2 that we sang about just now with the Magi or wise men. Jesus is revealed as king. So in closing, let me ask again, what are we invited to receive and celebrate today and in this season? I would admonish you from our text, receive his righteousness, receive his presence. Know that he is with you, especially in your brokenness and sin. And we need not move away from him, but we can move towards him and know his nearness. And lastly, receive and celebrate him as King and Lord. And commit and commend all your ways to him, because he is revealed, illuminated, manifested to us as the anointed King. And here is the invitation from Jesus in our own baptism. And I want to give us this invitation during all of the seasons of our lives. Be purified, plunged, submerged, soaked, and saturated by me and my life. Put on my life. This is Galatians 3:27. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself or put on Christ, and be marked, anointed, and sealed by the Holy Spirit, so that you would no longer be a slave to sin, tyrannized by sin, but a son or a daughter. This is Israel with Moses, the Exodus. Pass from a life of slavery, bondage, and fear. Pass through the waters. Die to your old life and walk in newness of life as a chosen child, heir of promise. Come to know my provisions and know that you too are my beloved. Amen.